Hi, my name's Ryan. I've been a supporter of Paul's for many years now. I wish to get the podcast and video creation part of the system we call Paul back up to full speed. And I think Patreon support is a big part of that system. Go over to patreon.com/Paul Wheaton. Make a pledge for each artifact that Paul creates. Again, the site is patreon.com/Paul Wheaton. You can also find the link in the podcast notes. Enjoy the podcast.
Okay, the numbers are gone.
Yay!
All right, Kyle!
Hello, Permies!
So, like, let's say that you're approaching a Wafati or Berm shed, and you're like, I am concerned. I am curious. I wonder if any of the wood here may have rotted. How do you go about testing that?
You grab yourself a metal pokey thing and start poking at stuff.
I use my Leatherman. I just pull out the knife in my Leatherman. Stab, stab, stab.
Yeah, a knife works. A flathead screwdriver could work. You know, anything that is metal and pokey.
Could
you do it?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I suppose a flathead screwdriver could work or a Phillips screwdriver. Yeah. But I don't know. I like the test with the knife better because like basically if I stab it and I can only go like an eighth of an inch, that's solid wood. Uh-huh. That's good. That's wood that's in great shape. And then if it goes in like, I don't know, a quarter of an inch, half an inch.
Yeah.
It's like, uh-oh.
It's starting to be a problem.
And then once in a while, oh, an inch? Oh no.
That's a problem.
Panic. Start panicking now. And so, of all the pieces of wood that you have stabbed that are part of a Wafati or a Berm shed, what percentage of wood have you been, found that was like, you could stab more than a quarter of an inch?
I started working on the Wafati structures when I was doing some replacing of some logs in one of the wing walls of the abbey. And, I mean, those are already, you can visibly tell.
Right.
That there's something wrong.
Right.
Cause they were uncovered and then they go, oh, look at that. So I haven't done a lot of poking.
Okay.
I haven't done a lot of.
I've done a lot of poking. I would say that it's like one stick out of 30 makes me worried. I want to say that we've got a system for replacing posts, but at Allerton Abbey, we discovered that the earthworks on the top, it's like one spring when we were having a big snow melt, I was standing on the downhill side of the abbey and there was water pouring onto the deck from the roof. Uh-huh. And it's like, that's not supposed to happen. The soil on the roof is supposed to be shaped in such a way that it runs away from the edge, but instead it was doing the opposite. And so, you know, it's on me, really, because I should have gone up and looked at it and said, what the fuck? But I didn't. And I'm a dumbass. And so I should have gone and at least done that much. So in hindsight, so it's my fault. And then what happened was, is so all winter for, I guess, several years, the water that would come would then, you know, spill over the roof onto that deck. And so it just got flooded. Right. And then the deck itself, I think, was not level.
Yeah, that's a lot of things combining.
Yeah. And so then there was a bunch of stuff where the water was going the wrong way. We needed to go correctly away from all of our wood and said it was going the opposite way. So of course it rotted. We've made a lot of corrections since then and, including replacing the wood. But I think that, there's two things to talk about. First, let's talk about first, like, and we've done this with, I think, three sticks inside of Allerton Abbey, where for one reason or another, a post was rotten. Uh-huh. And I think sometimes the post is going to end up having, it's going to have a lot of fungal stuff in it, maybe a little bit of moisture when we put it in. Mm-hmm. Now, Allerton Abbey was built with all dead standing wood. And, Cooper Cabin was built with all green wood.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's possible we get some dead standing wood and something's already got some mold in it. And then I don't, you know, yeah. something, and it's got to come out.
Yep.
So it's kind of like, wow, if you've got tons and tons and tons of dirt on the roof and you're going to try and remove this post, which is rotten, but somehow magically still standing, it's kind of like, okay, we need to be able to take that out in such a way that, it's going to, like, the whole roof's not going to cave in. And it's like, at the same time, you know, safety. How do we be super duper 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 safe? So we've got a bunch of these house jacks.
Yeah.
These big ass house jacks.
Pretty hefty, yeah.
And so, I would say, for, you know, if needed, one house jack will safely hold up one of our roofs, where a post was. Mm-hmm. But to be super safe, we generally deploy six.
That seems pretty.
So like,
yeah, that's
right now we started a project with the berm shed, just before the event started to replace a post. And, we haven't quite finished taking the house jacks out. It's like, it's all ready.
Yeah. I think
we're all done.
It's just like the top layer of gravel's got to get tamped around it. And
yeah. It. Yeah. We're like, yeah, finishing that project is like 20 minutes worth of work. And then we need to take the house jacks out.
Yep.
And then that's it. But so we'll put in, several house jacks, and then we'll also try to get it so that we can raise the roof maybe an inch above where the post is now. Because when you put the new post in, you gotta make a fairly big hole that is sloped on one side.
So you can angle, like I tip it over and pull it out. Because you can't lift it straight up. You would never make enough room to get it out. So yeah, just lay it over and pull it out and put the new one in.
Yeah, mostly. Because the old one, if it's rotten, you know, you can bust it up and pieces, but yeah, still, you know, a lot of times it's like not so rotten on the inside.
Yeah, that's either like rotten just on the outside or just in the bottom, just in usually a spot or two.
Basically, if we stab into it and it's rotten for, like, I don't know, even I'd say half an inch
mm-hmm.
on the outside or 3/4 inch, I'm thinking like, got to get it out of there.
Yep.
Even though it's still hardwood on the inside, it's like on its way to rot town.
Because that rot next to it will continue to eat it up.
If it was like a post that wasn't holding up very much, but it's like a 14-inch post, and it's like rotten only for half an inch on the outside, I might think,
still
you know,
a 13-inch post.
Yeah, it might be okay for quite a while. Maybe the rot's going to stop now that it's really, really dry, but it probably won't, but we have to keep our eye on it. But if it's a, I don't know, an 8-inch post and it's got an inch of rot.
Yeah, it's gotta go.
Yeah, it's like, nope. So yeah, dig the hole in such a way that you can lean the post out. Cause when it was put in, the roof wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
And so now we gotta lean it out. And then of course and then usually when we replace something, we go with a bigger post.
Uh-huh.
Let's make this much beefier than the one we took out. So we had to have a bigger hole. And then we've got a new process for how we put posts in the ground, so we make an even bigger hole to facilitate the new process. But it's got to have that big angle on one side.
Uh-huh.
So we bring the new post in, we lean it in at an angle, like a 45-degree angle,
yep,
and then lift the top of the post into place.
So our new way to bury everything, all of our posts, are to put about a foot of gravel at the bottom, or 6 inches?
So we have an extra foot below where the post is going to end up.
And then
big
get that tamped down and nice and solid.
Right.
And put your post in, get that secured, and then you put gravel all around that. And I think it's at least a good thickness all the way around to prevent any moisture sitting against it and, you know, getting airflow and drainage there.
I mean, I kind of feel like when we're building a structure, then we're a little quicker about it. We're not as, so like, if, so first of all, the, we put an extra, make the hole an extra foot deep. We mm-hmm. put some big rocks in the bottom and then we put gravel on top of those rocks.
Right.
And we put the post in and then we fill around the post. When we're building a new structure, I would say we fill with an inch or two of gravel all around the post. But when we're replacing a post, we tend to like, let's take it up a notch. Mm-hmm. And so it's
6 inches usually, like more than enough space around it.
We get a little carried away with like,
and to be honest, our gravel is, you know, the stuff that we dig out of the hillsides when we're building the well or something. And
sometimes we buy it.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But
usually it's
if
stuff.
We have piles of rock, we go, hey, there's that rock over there.
It's kind of amazing how, for our natural building techniques, how often we use gravel. Because
mm-hmm.
now you did some dry stack
yes.
at the greenhouse.
Yes, did.
Yeah. And so imagine you used a lot of gravel because
uh-huh.
it looks like a real good dry stack. Yeah. And I think that the secret to a real good dry stack is to use plenty of sharp gravel at just the right place.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that... To jump away from our posts, all that got filled in, and under with all that excavated gravel, all that sharp, slaty stuff, and, using a tamper, those big, you know, 6-inch stones got pulverized into 2-inch stones and all made a nice base, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's the similar stuff that we were using for some of the posts.
So now, Let's just talk for a second about this. Now, the Bernal brothers and I co-made a video, which is now on YouTube, about posts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this posts video, it kind of talks about what we don't do. And there's a process that we used to do. Mm-hmm. And it's like, just ignore that. But, one of the things we don't do is the thing where you burn the ends of the posts.
Uh-huh.
And I do believe that by charring the end of the post, that if you're going to just go put it like outside in the ground, charring is going to add 10% of the lifespan of the post. But it is a lot of work. I mean, you got to get this big fire going.
Right. Just...
And then you lay all your log ends in the fire and you got to roll them every 10 minutes or so.
Is it similar to like fire hardening or is it a step past that to where you're actually like carbonizing the outside?
You're going to get the outside to become char.
Uh-huh.
And then you want to have a char layer on the outside, which in a way weakens the post because now you've
lost.
Yeah.
Thickness. There.
You've given up like 3/4 to an inch. Of post, and then that stuff can kind of flake off.
Mm-hmm.
But you're trying to char it just enough that it doesn't burn into the core, and you know it burns into the post just a little ways. So, and then it's like it's easy to screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to do a good job, and you got to put the fire out at just the right time.
Yeah,
and you got to get the char all the way around and try and get it to be fairly even.
Right.
It's a big job, but I think a lot of people are just firebugs and they're like, and they got an excuse to burn something.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, fair enough. Have fun. Knock yourself out.
It'd be interesting to bury one of our posts like we're doing now in one spot and kind of near it, do a charred one.
Ooh.
See how that goes. That would be.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Even just open weather and just see what happens.
So I'm going to say charring your post, and I could be wrong, but I believe charring into your post does add 10% to the lifespan of the post. I just don't think it's worth all the work.
Yeah, you think it helps a little bit, but isn't worth the squeeze.
Now is a good time to talk about what Mike Ayler does. So, of course, you know, the Wafati design and the Brimshed design is based a lot of ways on Mike Ayler's work. And so what Mike does is that he takes his post and then he wraps it with, I believe, 10 garbage bags. before sticking it in the ground. Yeah. See, now the face you're making towards the
microphone. This face doesn't translate to audio. This eyebrow raised and...
It is this I smelled something bad face. It's like, what's that smell?
Unless it's completely dry and, like, you know, down to, like, 9%.
And it isn't.
Right.
I can...
If it's Greenwood, then that's bad.
Yeah. And go ahead. Spell it out.
So the plastic's going to trap moisture and, you know, bugs or whatever's in there. And they'd be like...
So there's going to be moisture.
All this nice wet wood, let's eat this.
There's moisture in the wood.
Mm-hmm.
Always. There's always moisture.
There's certainly, you know, random fungal spores and all kinds of stuff. It's... Yeah.
And so as it sits in those garbage bags,
right.
You think of a log as a giant bundle of straws. Then the liquid slowly gets pulled by gravity down, 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 down until it's inside those garbage bags and it can't get out.
Yeah.
Now, that said, on the other hand, the $50 house, Mike Ehler's original building. Now, I haven't been up to the property since he died.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I saw it at the age of 45 and the building was still standing strong and I did some rot tests around it and it was strong.
Huh.
And it's like, this thing's going to easily go another 45 years. So, it's working. It's hard to argue with success.
A little hard to test the bottom of the post, isn't it?
That's true. Cause that's where the water would be. It would be down there at the bottom, but maybe it's, so maybe if each post is buried in the ground, like, because those garbage bags have got to be no taller than 3 feet, right?
Yeah.
So let's say those posts are 3 feet into the ground. Then maybe that bottom couple of inches is all rotten. But, you know, and then the rest of the structure will be fine. I mean, really what you care about is the collar. So right where the surface of the soil meets, because that's where you're going to bring your soil microorganisms are going to go and say, I want to eat some wood.
Yeah, if you get very, very much below that, a lot of activity stops.
Because they don't have enough air. Because they kind of need some air and some moisture and some wood.
Uh-huh.
And so it's right there at the collar level, the ground where at level zero, I guess,
uh-huh.
You know, right where the soil meets the air and the wood, where they all three are together. That's your primary rot point. And so, and he's got you would have effectively a layer of plastic right there.
Hmm.
And so that's going to, you know, help.
It's not a terrible idea if you want to do just plastic, maybe at ground level, but leave the bottom open. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you're okay with using plastic,
see,
that would be okay. But we want to try and get away from that.
So for example, with the greenhouse, we have zero cement in the
mm-hmm.
greenhouse,
yep.
Which I think I'm very proud of.
Yeah.
We do have plastic in the membrane.
Yeah.
And the umbrella, but it's pretty slight. There's hardly any.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the rest of the structure, I don't believe we have any plastic at all.
No, it's wood and cob and the nails. I mean, there's metal.
There's the metal framing for the glass.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's no plastic in that. I think,
yeah.
I mean, we're pretty good at eliminating plastic and paint.
The
and
windows themselves
cement.
Have some gaskets.
Okay.
That's pretty inert. It's covered up by steel or aluminum or whatever is in there, so.
But our standard is, our general building standard is can we build a thing using 1% of the plastic, paint, and cement that other structures.
I think that far beats.
And 1%. I think we're way below 1%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially with cement because we're at zero. And with paint, we're currently at zero. I don't think we have any paint in there at all.
No.
I don't think we have any glue.
Nope.
Yeah. And so I think we're doing pretty good. But posts. So Mike would do those bags and that's plastic. We're not into the plastic. Let's do something better.
Mm-hmm.
So our current process, what we do now is this thing with the gravel, which I think is great because it's just rocks and wood.
Yep.
And I should talk about cement. A lot of people believe that when they make posts, they do post stuff, that they're using cement. And so some people will do a cement footer. So they'll make, if they're going to put in, like, let's say they're going to put in a 10-inch post, then they're going to dig a hole that's going to be like 14 inches in diameter, maybe even 16 inches in diameter, and they're going to pour like 6 inches of concrete in the bottom.
Yeah.
And then they're going to let it cure, and then they're going to put a post on that. Now, that's a footer. And the neat thing, the smart thing about that is that it's going to make it so that your log, that you, when you put it in there, has a bigger footprint.
Mm-hmm.
It's less likely to sink into the ground. Very smart.
That is actually a good idea. Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
That's a solid footer.
And then, okay, now you know what the problem with that is, that I think most of those guys don't ever think of, and they don't ever do.
Yeah, when water gets to that point, it's just going to sit there. It's going to sit right on the concrete, because the concrete's impermeable, generally.
Very good.
It goes through it slowly, and the concrete can kind of absorb water, because that's what concrete does. Over a period of time, it'll actually hold water. And
so we got two things. So there's water in the log, which is now trapped in the log because it can't get through the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's water outside the log, which gets down to that pad and then kind of puddles there and then gets into the log.
Yeah, compared to the rest of the dirt around it, it'll be wetter because it doesn't let the water pass through, and it naturally holds on to water.
Okay. So then there's the idea of a cement or concrete collar right at the ground level. So like where the air meets the dirt, the collar. And then they'll shape it usually so that the water, it has a slope on the outside to go away from the post. So if a raindrop lands near the post, it'll go downhill away from the post a couple of inches.
Yeah.
So this collar will be a couple of inches thick all the way around the post. So the idea is to protect the post at the point where rot occurs most. And so I think for the most part, it does a pretty good job. But we're kind of back to a lot of the same problems. The water that runs down the post, if the post shrinks slightly,
now that
concrete collar is holding the moisture against the post, helping it to rot more. And then there's the whole thing of the wrap. So like some people, it's like, okay, you put your footer in there, you put your post on it, and you just fill the whole damn hole with concrete. Like, and the idea is I'm going to keep all of the moisture away from my post.
Yeah.
But it's like
a nice, lovely cup.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so there's two different problems. But one is that if the concrete is watertight, you're going to hold all the moisture in and cause rot.
Mm.
If it's not watertight, then all the soil will bring water to the concrete, and the concrete will wick that water to the post.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like you're losing in every way. And so there's...
All right, here's the thing. We just make a concrete post. There, that's solved.
Well, and then, of course, I mentioned this podcast. I mean, you've listened to a lot of my podcasts. Over and over and over again, I talk about all the different problems of cement and concrete.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm going to skip past all that. We just don't want to use it ourselves.
Mm.
So, all right. The thing is that with the thing where we've got the big rocks at the bottom and then a layer of gravel on top of that and the post that's on top of that, if there's any water in the post, the water gets out. And then if there's any water in the soil trying to get to the post, it can't get past the rocks and the gravel.
Yeah.
And then we do a gravel wrap. And probably when we're doing it quick and we're like, we're putting in 30 posts.
You'll dig a big trench and do your posts. And,
well, okay. That sounds like somebody.
If you're making a wall.
Oh, if I'm going to have like a. I'm thinking like we'll have a new post every 10 feet.
Okay.
And there's like 30 posts we're putting in. We tend to be a little on the efficient side.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, okay, so there'll be an inch or two of gravel around every post, all the way up to the collar point. And so now, but if we're replacing a post, we tend to be a little more generous with the gravel, and is what I'm trying to say. So if there's water in the post, it can get out through the sides, through the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 90% of it's at the bottom, but out the sides too. And then if there's any water in the soil trying to get to the post, it can't get past the gravel. So it's like, I think it's an all around win. In order for there to be rot, you need three ingredients. You need the microorganisms in the soil. Mm-hmm. You need air and water. And so we've eliminated two. The microorganisms in the soil can't get past the gravel. Mm-hmm. The water can't get past the gravel. So then you're kind of like, looking at just wood. And I'm like, okay, so in here, in my office where we are now, there's a lot of wood that's got to be, I don't know, 6 years old or better. But out in the living room, there is something there that I built like 30 years ago, and I never treated it with any wood. Mm-hmm. I never treated it with any oils or anything. It's 100% untreated, and it's looking great. It has developed a bit of a patina to it. Mm-hmm. It's gotten darker. And I should say another thing that we do for all of our posts. There's a couple more things that we do for all of our posts besides all this gravel. One, a big eave. So a Wafati in a berm shed has a big, big eave.
3 or 4 feet?
We shoot for 5, mm-hmm. but we've had some structures built where, it's like I get there and I say, the eave is supposed to be 5 feet, but mm-hmm. it looks shorter. Yeah, we forgot. The berm shed, for example, is only 2.5 feet mm-hmm. of an eave, and it makes me really nervous that it's so short. And I can see why they did it shorter there, sure. And we are in a kind of a tight space working.
Yeah, you could stay on top of the berm shed and touch the roof of the shop. It's a very close.
Yeah. Which you kind of had an opportunity to do in the last couple of days, because didn't I see you out there harvesting sepulcher grain?
Lots of sepulcher grain.
But I think, both Wafatis have a healthy 5 foot eave. Mm-hmm. And so step one, just keep all the rain off of our posts.
Yep.
There's ways to do that. If you've got, two posts, one is shorter than the other, then you've got this sloped log that you put on top of it, and then it just hangs 5 feet out into outer space on one end to make a 5 foot eave. Then that's our system to keep, mm-hmm. Water away from our posts. And the next thing.
Slope everything away from.
Is the earthworks. Yeah. Yeah. Now, the post that we took out of the berm shed has to do with, I think that was a post left over from berm shed 1.0, and mm-hmm. we totally rebuilt the berm shed. And I thought we replaced all the posts, but the guy that built berm shed 1.0, he put the posts in. And he didn't do the earthworks first. And he thought he would get all the posts in before the rain came. And,
so much?
And he was going to have this process of like, boom, 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 putting all these posts in. And I started, so he thought he would outrun the rain. And then one day, this enormous rain came. And, because it was sloped into the berm shed, and because he built the back wall on the berm shed, and he built it pretty tight.
That's a nightmare.
He made a wooden swimming pool. So, one of the posts, that post had to be, I'm going to guess, 6 years old. And it was rotten. Mm-hmm. And so we took it out. But it had to do with the fact that, we didn't have actually the earthworks were done the opposite way. But now, when you're there at the berm shed, you can see that the ground is sloped away from the berm shed, which is the same at Allerton Abbey and at Cooper Cabin. Mm-hmm. So any rain that lands wants to go away from our posts. Those two things, the big eave and the earthworks, are two big things that really help to keep our posts dry and to keep our structure dry, all our wood dry. And that was a bit of a problem at Allerton Abbey before, mm-hmm. is that all the water would come down, and I think that the deck might have been slightly sloped.
Even if it was dead flat, you're still going to get moisture going both directions, and so, yeah.
Yeah. So, but we're correcting all of that, or we have corrected all uh-huh. of it. I think it's still in the, is it still in the process
the wing
of being?
Wall has some jacks under it, and I think I've replaced some and some other stuff to get.
Okay. All right. Okay. So this has been a podcast about posts.
All the post stuff.
All the post stuff. I'm trying to think, is there anything else about posts that we might want to talk about? I mean, we used to use a kind of a, we used to put it just straight into sand and we had a little bit of a mix that we put in it, but I never liked the mix. I didn't mind, we would put diatomaceous earth and ash in there. I didn't mind that so much, but I didn't like the fact that we were putting in some borax, because borax is very low toxicity, but there is some toxicity.
Yes.
So I like the gravel much, much, much better than that.
I've had some experience ingesting borax.
What?
The whole thing. So the lethality of borax and regular old table salt is actually fairly similar.
Okay.
So you dilute the borax in a liter of water. It's like a 16th of a teaspoon, something like that. And then you drink like a teaspoon of that at a time. So it's extremely diluted and it's like 10 parts per million. And, and you take it for
the boron?
Yes, for the boron.
And so what does boron do for you?
It's been a while since I've done this. I think it's bone health and some hormonal things that it can do for you.
Okay.
It's in populations where they have enough boron in their diet, they have, you know, problems that other societies don't. It's sort of a,
all right,
it's a thing.
Okay. Okay.
If you, anyone listening, you could look up the boron conspiracy. There's this doctor guy. He treated a bunch of people for, now I've forgotten what it was for, but.
So you did some experimenting with.
Yes.
Consuming some boron.
Yes.
It was lived to tell the tale.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to just say I don't recommend it.
I would say anybody who's interested, look it up for yourself.
Everybody needs a little bit of boron. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people will get sick from boron.
Very well could. And
even touching it.
Yeah, well,
like dermally.
Putting a bunch of salt in the same hole instead of boron, we'd probably have toxicity in that area too. It would kill stuff. So.
True.
In a similar True. Vein.
Right. I think the amount of boron we put in was pretty slight. Mm-hmm. I mean, it acts as an antifungal.
Right.
But I think you're right. I think salt would also act as an antifungal.
Yep.
Yeah. But I'm glad we didn't do salt. I regret having done boron, and our borax. And it's like, I like our new approach much, much, much better. And I kind of feel like, this is part of what we're doing here. We do experiments, and along the way, people come along and they've got better ideas,
mm-hmm.
and or somehow somebody thinks of a better idea, or we share podcasts and videos and pictures,
yep.
and then somebody online makes a suggestion.
You could do this. I'm like, ooh, we could do that.
And so we're getting better, I think dramatically better every year,
mm-hmm.
at all of these things. And I think we started with some pretty good stuff too. So, all right. If you like this sort of thing, come on out to the forums at permies.com, where we talk about happy posts, homesteading,
and permaculture
all the time.
Don't forget, go out to patreon.com/PaulWheaton and make a pledge for future artifacts.